Hey, welcome into a bonus episode of Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange, joined by Josh Jordan, who you can read daily at sportsmap.com. Follow him on X at JoshJordan975. Josh, you know, we're all excited about the upcoming Dodgers series over the weekend, but the, you know, headline of the day seems to be, look, you didn't get the results out of the Oakland series that we were hoping for, but the real talking point out of that is Hunter Brown. 12 consecutive starts of at least six innings or more, 11 of those quality starts. This is much more like the guy we had envisioned when everybody was calling him Baby Verlander. That's a lot to live up to, admittedly, but he's pitching with a ton of confidence right now. I don't know about you, kind of reminds me a little bit of Roger Clemens on the mound. Got that chip on his shoulder, piss and vinegar when he's throwing the ball. It's pretty fun to watch as an Astros fan. You know, look, we don't want to put the cart too ahead of the horse here. Obviously, Houston still has a ton of season left, and this team has a ton of questions still left to answer. But as it stands right now, I'm curious of your thoughts. I'm curious of our viewers' thoughts. So they can answer this as well. I encourage, if you're watching this, we welcome your feedback. So put comments below. If you're listening to this, you can always tweet it, either Josh or myself directly. So I wanted to ask you, and I think this is a good thought exercise based on where the team's at right now, is Hunter Brown the second most important pitcher on this team as we speak?
Yeah, probably. Verlander's not here. And, you know, who knows with all the other guys. I guess Fromber's probably who you have at number one for the most important pitcher. And you could argue Hunter Brown's been pitching a lot better than Fromber lately. But if we're talking about pedigree, playoff experience, you got to give the nod to Fromber there. Even though, you know, he can just kind of lose it at any moment. That his defense can get you in a bind, or he can walk five or six guys in a game. But he's so good, he can walk five or six guys in a game and still get the win and pitch an effective game, getting those double play balls. And we know what Fromber can be when he's good Fromber, but Hunter Brown, this is what we've been waiting for. You alluded to it, you know, all the Baby Verlander stuff. Well, now we're actually seeing the production of somebody that should be called Baby Verlander. So I love what I'm seeing from Hunter Brown. And to me, it's all about that sinker. It has changed absolutely everything. It's just a deal where all his other pitches were breaking outside to right-handed hitters. He didn't have anything to keep him honest on the inner third of the plate, so they could dive out and hit the cutter, hit the breaking ball, hit the fastball. You know, Chandler Rome talked about in one of his pieces on Hunter Brown, like even his fastball has a little bit of cut on it that goes, you know, outside to a right-handed hitter. So have something that comes in on a righty. And let's not forget, dude throws hard, you know, Hunter Brown living in the mid to upper 90s. So if you have to respect that up and in or down and in with that sinker tumbling in there in the mid to high 90s, and then you still have to be able to cover a slider or a cutter on the outside part of the plate, it keeps you honest. You can only defend so much of the plate. And hitters are seeing that, and how often he's throwing it. That's what's amazing. You're seeing less four-seam fastballs because the two-seamer is so effective. And that's another thing in that article that Chandler Rome brought up. He's really only using it against right-handed hitters. Against lefties, he's going to other weapons, you know, which makes sense. It's a really effective pitch against righties. It's turned him into a totally different guy. And what's great about it is it doesn't feel like, oh, guys are going to adjust to that, and then he'll go back to having an ERA over five. I just think this has been the missing piece in his arsenal. It's something that he had in college. He didn't really throw a lot in the pros. And we see that things are in and out of style in baseball. Sometimes the sinker was super popular in the 90s. And, you know, now it's all about high velo and high forcing fastball, stuff like that. And of course, sweepers. Yeah. And for Hunter, this is the pitch. This is what separates him. And let's face it, you face more right-handed hitters than anything else in baseball. Just look at the world. There's more righties than lefties. So I think this is a fix that's going to last.
Well, and it's why I asked the question. I think you hit on a lot of things that I feel like that we're seeing, and I feel the same way. That's why I wanted to ask the question, because look, I agree with you. Fromber has the experience. Dude pitched nails in a closeout game in the World Series just a couple of years ago. We know he's highly volatile, but when Fromber's on, there's few better than him in the game. You talked about his ability to wipe out traffic on the plates. That's so huge for a pitcher to be able to work out of trouble like that. JV has the health questions. Ronald Blanco's been nails for most of the year, but his increased workload plus that downtaken velo was concerning. So Hunter's been the most consistent, as you said, throughout the year. And even when we're talking about just the entire pitching staff, you know, the bullpen has redundancy, right? You've got Hader, but you also have Ryan Presley. You've got Abreu, and even Taylor Scott has, you know, been able to show a propensity to be able to throw in leverage situations. So you've got a little bit of redundancy towards the back end of your bullpen. Obviously the middle of that bullpen has question marks for sure. They hope to remedy that at the trade deadline, hopefully. But I just look at where they're at right now. I think it's so, like, where would you be without Hunter Brown throwing the way he's throwing right now? Obviously Ronald Blanco as well, but like looking at it long term, kind of looking at how the rest of this season plays out, I think Hunter Brown is the second most important pitcher on this staff. You know, we were talking about something right before we hit record on this that Chandler dropped in his article today about Bregman working with Brown and also Spencer Arrighetti. But what did you think about? I thought it was pretty interesting. Bregman working with Hunter Brown and kind of helping him discover or rediscover or utilize better that two-seamer.
You know, Bregman, we know he's a great hitter. He's just a film rat. He thinks about baseball all the time, and he's watching and, you know, just kind of keeping an eye on what's going on and keeping tabs on how guys are using certain pitches. And I thought it was interesting. Blummer talked about on the broadcast the other day about how the infielders have the PitchCom earpiece as well. So guys like Bregman can hear what pitches are being called to certain hitters and certain counts. And I'm sure he has opinions about that stuff, as he should. And what I thought was interesting is he was the one that said, Hunter, why don't you try working in that two-seam fastball? You know, with that tailing inside a little bit and the velocity, it might open up the outside part of the plate, which is where Hunter's so good. He has so many put-away pitches out there. And Bregman was right. And it was in that Mariners series. And it also talked about in the article that Hunter Brown was like, oh, he was watching some of the Mariners pitchers working back and forth between their two and four seam fastballs and having success. We know how good those Mariners pitchers are. So why not take a play out of their playbook and implement it? So it's working great. I thought it was interesting with Spencer Arrighetti, where Bregman just asked him, like, why did you throw Lewis Robert Jr. that slider there? You know, and Arrighetti was, well, that's my best pitch. You know, that's, you know, why not? You know, that's my strength. And that's kind of the thing in sports, right? Like, you want to do what you do best and make the other team, you know, change their plan or whatever. Sometimes that doesn't work. There's not always a this always works in sports. Sometimes that person's strength is better than your strength. So just avoid that and you might get a better outcome. So I think, you know, Spencer Arrighetti, he's new to baseball. He's learning. And guys like Bregman, they've been here before. And I think it's great that he's also talking to the catchers. He's not going into meetings or anything like that, but they're having conversations about, oh, how about we approach this guy like this, or what's the game plan for him? And it's just great to see a veteran player that knows baseball helping. And, you know, they also point out in the article, you know, Maldi's gone and Brantley's got a lot of the veteran leadership. You know, Dusty Baker's gone. You know, it's probably the right time where some of these veteran players might need to step in here. And if they can help out and offer some good advice, why not take advantage of it? I'm reminded, and correct me in the comments if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I remember this right, when, you know, Roy Oswalt was having some trouble. He was throwing a lot of two-seam fastballs. He wasn't as effective. And he asked Lance Berkman just to step in the box and just kind of observe what his pitches look like as they're coming in. And if I remember right, Berkman was like, you know, the two-seam fastball is fine. That was when it was real in vogue to throw the sinkers and pitch to contact, you know, back, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. And Berkman was like, man, with your curveball, it feels like that four-seamer, it's harder to get to. So as a hitter, I wouldn't want to see that as much. And Oswalt, if I remember correctly, let me know in the comments. I'm pretty sure about this. I don't think I dreamed it. Oswalt found that was beneficial and that he did go back to more four-seam fastballs because that's what works for him. He's not Greg Maddux. You know, every pitcher has certain things they're good at. And, you know, also Maddux couldn't throw 95 miles an hour like Oswalt. So we've seen stuff like this before where hitters can have just a different perspective than pitchers. Sometimes you get in your little bubble and some outside advice can make a big difference.
you know, when we were talking about this, one of the things that reminded me of, and this is going to be another one of those vague recollections that I do invite feedback on if I'm wrong on, or I know I'm not wrong on it, but I don't remember who the hitter was. So it was a few years back. Bregman was at the All-Star game, and the quote came from another player. I don't remember who the player was, but there was a hitter. He said that he had a chance to speak with Bregman during the weekend, and Breggy asked him, do you prefer two seamers or four seamers? And the guy said, it took him off guard. He's like, I've never really thought about it. And so just a quick window of interaction with Bregman, he seemingly helped appear be more thoughtful about his at bats. Like, what am I really looking for as a batter? What do I handle better? And, you know, what should I be sitting on? And so as we're talking about this, you know, you brought it up, like there's been a attrition of leadership on this team. Bregman's departure looks even more consequential if he is indeed departing this team after this season. This team has lost a lot of veteran leadership. We joke about the Correa mound visits and Maldi's guidance of the pitchers, but it is a little concerning to lose one more veteran. And again, maybe his offensive production is not, you know, as consistent as it used to be. It's taking longer and longer for him to get in his groove during the season, but the guy has a mind for the game and he's giving you some insightful thought and reflection on situations that Murphy and Miller just, I guess, haven't had the same, you know, I don't want to downplay their influence on the pitching staff, but it clearly was something that Bregman, observed, has influenced, and they've seen really good results on. Now, I don't know how many times that happens, but obviously this is specifically credited to Bregman. And so it's a real concern if you're losing one more of these guys that has been so influential. And how influential? Well, I mean, since May 5th, Brown has the third best ERA, you know, behind guys like Garrett Crochet and Corbin Burns. He's at 2.51 since May 5th. Joe Espada saying Brown's got that ace feeling to him. Yeah, I agree. The eye test, you know, he passes the eye test when you talk about that. So not knowing what Houston does at the deadline, how does Brown's production now influence your thoughts about how this team lines up their rotation for a potential postseason series?
I mean, he's got to be at least top three, and I would say top two, but Justin Verlander, that guy's done a few things in Major League Baseball. So I can't possibly know what Joe Espada is going to write out on that card for sure. You know, and who knows, maybe Verlander's pitching lights out by the time we get to the postseason. We just, you know, we don't know right now as we sit in July, but if we're talking about performance, you got to look at Hunter Brown with that you pointed to, third best ERA in the AL since May 5th. And it's the stark difference there. You know, in one of the same articles, Josh Miller was talking about, we were worried that Hunter Brown may not figure it out before we'd have to send him back to the minor leagues, which wasn't really a possibility because the Astros, they have such little at the minor league level. It allowed Hunter Brown to stay up with the big league club and kind of figure things out, work through it, and it paid off. And it's such a, you know, this guy had an ERA over 5, and now he's one of the best pitchers in the American League. So for me, it's got to be, you know, Fromber, Hunter Brown, and Justin Verlander, however you want to order it. I think it's one of those guys. And then Ronel Blanco, you know, those are the guys. And we'll see what they do at the deadline. If they somehow grabbed a top of the rotation starter, that could change my opinion. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think they're going to add some arms. But yeah, I think those are your four right there. And, you know, I think you're probably right. They might roll with Fromber, but if JV is looking like typical JV, I think he's going to be your first starter just based on what he's done over the course of his career. And, you know, back to Hunter Brown, it is the sinker. It's also his confidence is building. And, you know, Josh Miller, the pitching coach, talked about, you know, the quote, there's a stark difference between April and June. And a lot of that's confidence related, in my opinion. No offense to Josh Miller. That would probably be my stance if Bregman was the one that fixed Hunter Brown and not me, the pitching coach. So just saying, I'd probably be leaning more into confidence. But let's be real. Confidence comes from having success,
right?
You know, you're not super confident if you go out there and get ripped all over the ballpark every 5 days. You know, both of those things have to work together in conjunction. But you know, to put a bow on it, I like this starting rotation. If they're able to grab another bullpen arm, just to kind of give them one more option outside of their big three or big four, if you consider Scott one of those guys now, I think that's what's going to be. So Fromber, Hunter, Justin Verlander, and Blanco, you know, depending on the order there, I think it's going to be who's performing the best as we get to the postseason, assuming that they do get there.
Yeah, and assuming that JV does make a return, we're assuming a lot there too, because this IL stint has been a lot longer than we anticipated. Hard to know whether the team, you know, anticipated it being this long, because they're not really honest. Really, really hard to take them at face value, because it seems like they're incredibly secretive with health information of the players for whatever reason. But look, you know, going back to the question about the postseason lineup or postseason rotation, look, if you're penciling Brown in at third, that's still a consequential game. In a DS series, a game three could be a closeout game, or it could be a swing game, you know, if you're tied in a series, or it could be a stopper game. You know, maybe you've lost the first two in the series, and, you know, maybe you need Hunter Brown to go into enemy territory and pitch a good game to keep you in a series. So him, I don't think it's any disrespect. I mean, it's obviously showing respect to JV if he's able to pitch, and Fromber, you know, you pencil them at 1 and 2. Brown is still consequential at 3. But let's talk about it. Verlander, he's missed so much time. It's looking like it would take a miracle for him to hit that innings threshold for his deal to vest for next year. Yeah. How does the emergence of Brown impact the team's feelings about bringing a guy like JV back for next season?
It makes you're not desperate. You've got a young guy that you can count on that's not making a ton of money, that looks like he could even be on the upswing. This guy might even be able to improve more. And then you also have to factor in, is Luis Garcia going to be back to give you something? Maybe possibly this year, but especially next year, you're counting on, you hope you get Luis Garcia back. Lance McCullers, who knows, right? I mean, no, you know, it's hard to believe that McCullers is going to give you what you're looking for. You know, if he does come back, maybe he's a relief option. It's just, he's had so much arm trouble, it's hard to imagine him being a productive guy that can give you 7 innings every 5 days. So I think the thing with Verlander, a lot of it's Jim Crane. He's a big Verlander guy. And it's going to be the money too, right? Like we've seen Crane let Verlander walk when he got a ton of money thrown at him by the Mets. Will Verlander get that much interest, you know, if he doesn't, you know, get to that innings number, that threshold this year and return to the team? So, you know, how much is a team willing to give a guy in his 40s that's had injuries in back-to-back years? You know, you're kind of rolling the dice there, but if you get him at a bargain, then why not? You know, I just love watching Verlander pitch. And let's be honest, Jim Crane likes seeing the stands full JV day. A lot of people like to show up and watch Verlander at Minute Maid Park. And he's kind of ending his career. I've brought it up many times. I didn't want to see Nolan Ryan leave at the end of his career. You just felt like an Astro. You wanted to see him break all those records, the strikeouts and the wins. You wanted to see him do it in an Astros uniform. And he went on to the Rangers. I'd hate to see Verlander go have another great year in his 40s with another team, just because it feels like he's our guy. But if the production doesn't match and he's just not healthy enough to do it anymore, then you have to let him go. But I think that's why this trade deadline is important, Brandon, is that this move that they make, if, you know, for a pitcher here, it may not just be a move for this season. And Dana Brown said he doesn't like trading for rental players. So they may be looking long term at, like, we're going to need another guy next year. Can we count on Blanco to do it 2 years in a row? You know, is Hunter Brown going to stay as good as he is? I think he is, but we don't know. You know, Fromber can go off the rails at any minute. So, and look at the injuries they had this year. It just shows you can just lose a ton of guys just, and you're in big trouble. So I think it may be a long-term play what they do at starting pitching here at the deadline.
Yeah. And as for possible trades, I think this fan base needs to be prepared for a trade that's going to hurt, because you're not going to get anything back of consequence unless you're willing to give something up. So I think we all need to mentally prepare for maybe losing a player that we're not anticipating. And we talk about McCullers, you know, long term, and how many innings can he realistically give you as a starter? So maybe him as a bullpen option. But it's also not ideal for a guy who's had arm injuries and multiple surgeries to warm up quickly and to go into leverage situations. So that's not necessarily something that you know want for a guy like Lance McCullers either. So there are some really big questions that Lance is going to have to answer in the coming years, you know, whether he's going to be viable as a starter or as a pitcher in general. And getting back to JV, I think anything short of a team-friendly one-year deal, I just don't see how you bring back JV. We're both big fans of him, obviously. How can you not be a big fan of a Hall of Famer like JV and, you know, what he's helped bring to this city and this team? But it's tough to see how he fits long-term on this team if you're trying to look to build for the future. Again, I would love to see him back, but I think it's really going to have to make sense. Ultimately, Jim Crane is going to be the decision maker on that. I'll give you the final word.
Just quickly on McCullers, you know, thought of him coming out of the bullpen. His last 2 years when he was healthy, 21 and 22, or healthy-ish, over 4 walks per 9 innings is what he averaged. You don't want to bring a guy in out of the bullpen that you're worried if they can throw strikes, and that could even make the problem worse. If, you know, you got a couple guys on base and then you bring him in and he's going to walk the first guy, that's a concern. And you're right too, with him having to warm up quickly, that could be an issue. And McCullers has said he wants to be a starter in the past, but we're at a point now where it's just like, you know, Lance, we just got to get whatever we can out of you. And we signed you to a big long-term contract, and we want to see if we can get anything out of that deal. You know, personally with Verlander, I'd like to see him back, but he's got to come and show that he can still do it. They talked about in his bullpen session that he's hitting in the low 90s, 90, 91. That's fine for a guy that's not facing batters yet. You expect the velo to tick up a little bit as he gets more healthy. But, you know, is Verlander going to have to be a pitcher that changes the way he does it? You know, when Curt Schilling didn't throw 97 miles an hour anymore, you have to get guys out throwing 91, you know, and yet that means you have to hit your spots and you have to, you know, your off speed stuff has to be good. It's a different type of pitching as you get older. Will Verlander adapt to that? Will he be able to command that fastball and breaking stuff and not be able to just win by, you know, pumping it up to 97 and getting it past guys? But we'll see. I mean, we saw some certain games where Verlander was in the mid 90s and then it ticked down. Was that because of injury or is that just because of age? We don't know. But a lot of answers for us to find out about the Astros over these next few weeks.
Indeed. And I can't wait to find out those answers. That's going to be it for this bonus episode of Stone Cold Strohs. If you listen on podcasts and you enjoy the show, please be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Charlie, Josh, and I will catch you next week for a brand new episode of Stone Cold Strohs. Thanks for watching and listening. Until next time, go Strohs.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.